Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome audience. It's your girl once again with another episode of What the Hell Happened, Hollywood? And as I mentioned before, it should be What the Hell Happened to Hollywood? Because this has been more personal attack rather than just me giving you by-play rendition of what happened. As I go through my mental notes, I realized that I did skip around at my last broadcast, and I gave you a lot of information that may have been relevant. But the story is broken down into so many different segments, I want to make sure that you are all on the right part of the story so it actually makes sense. It is an ongoing, I should say, continuous over the last 13 years type story. However, most of the drama has ensued over the last 6 years. And within those 6 years, I found myself working in this business completely solo, building more infrastructure to the business and scaling in my own way the business. I've been able to connect with other businesswomen and men who have given me amazing advice and was very helpful as far as me building and growing and scaling from what we've done to being in the space that we are locally now. I'm going to still consider that this is my business because he refuses to negotiate and come up with any counters for my original offer. I was clear to post up the actual resignation letter that I've sent him in an email, and he hasn't responded, or has he been really open to communicating about what's actually listed in the email, other than when I drove yesterday all the way to Hartford and back because he refused to let me in my house after my classes. Mind you, he also has the car, so I have no idea where he expects me to go. I did express to him many times that the shelter has a cutoff time, so I'd have to be inside by 9 p.m., but he keeps scheduling classes after 8:30, so I don't get out of the actual studio till 10. Then by the time I get to the shelter, they're not going to let me in. They're going to give a bed to someone who's more needing or a family. And because of women's shelters, you know, they'd rather, you know, cater to single moms than just a single woman out there figuring out life. I don't mean to put myself in this position of going to shelters, but I do not wish to be anyone's burden in this stage of my life. And the burden is both domestic and due to the business. If I'm going to begin or continue my goals with my original plans for this industry, then I'm going to need to create, or I should say recreate, a whole new blueprint of what my intentions are. And that's what I've been working on as of these last few days. I began on November 30th taking an online course through Georgia Tech Institute of Technology, I should say, and they're offering lots of IT, lots of graphic art design courses, and Google offers courses through Coursera this week, absolutely free. And I have been on such a huge focused high that I've actually completed two full courses. So I'm already in user design for user experience design, and I'm working right now on application development because I've been building out websites for all these years. It kind of makes sense to have a certification in that as well. My goal was to find a position that I could work from home. So then I would be able to work from home, afford the place that I'm living, and then if I were to add any additional any additional options for employment, because I'm not sure really what the pay scales would be, I would work around the schedule that I suffice for myself. So I can give myself at least a starting salary of what I could afford, then eventually buy a car, and then within the next 3 years, eventually buy a house. So I do have plans, and within the next 5 years, I do intend to reestablish ownership of another aerial arts or dance studio. I'm creating and planning out as we speak. So this part is what the hell happened. I could go back as far as right now 6 years. 6 years is where things started getting really, really tough because my son was in high school and the attention from the two of us as parents weren't really going to him. And I was really upset because my son needed us more than ever to start preparing for his own adulthood. John found it to be a little bit, I don't know, either more pressure or maybe just not enough resources for him to make any of these decisions as a parent, but most of his attention went to my son's employment status. So we purchased a lawnmower, a blower, all types of outdoor cleaning and work supplies so my son could start his own landscaping business. Then we offered him the opportunity to take it to a few apartment complexes where they would give him a summer and winter arrangement. He would clean up during the summer, maybe rake the leaves, and then, of course, snow removal in the winter. This would give him not only his own business, but an opportunity to always make money whenever he sees fit. My son's not quite the entrepreneur, and we realized that really, really quickly that maybe he lacked a lot of the skills to move forward with this all alone. I made it really evident that it was possibly that, you know, important for him to get involved with his friends or do something where he would feel like he was involved with others in his own age, in his own peer group. But John found that to be, you know, quite preposterous because he broke down everything in my son's life and compared it to his own. He assumed that all men go through the same exact positions in life, and he had nothing really good to say about it other than, you know, he'll figure it out, which my son eventually did. But still, 6 years ago, it started becoming quite a little separation in the family. His illness has always been top tier to anything. So if there was something needed for the business, that always came second because his illness became break everything or to make anything. So he claimed that his professional demeanor when he wasn't in his best was always professional, which it wasn't, because as a sick person, you tend to take out your pain on those around you. I've seen him do it to nurses. I've seen him do it to doctors. I've seen him try to fire people working in the hospital, trying to help him. But since he ends up on a special floor in the hospital that often is accompanied by more women because of this type of cancer that he has or the type of disease that he has, they consider it, they come up to the exact same floor as most of the female cancer patients. So I'm sure he feels, I don't know how he feels. I know that he's lacked tact when it comes to dealing with nurses and doctors and other patients because he feels as a man and woman, he's entitled to better and more attention and care. And he felt that his disease was more, was worse than others. So his hierarchy needs needed to be met at more of a higher rate, and it wasn't because most of the nurses treat everyone on the same floor fairly the same, unless there's a doctor coming in and putting you on in like an emergency wing or like a triage area. There's nothing that they can do other than to make you feel comfortable.
And often he would seek his drugs or need his medication because going through so many withdrawals from him normally being in the world where he was able to monitor his own medications. So in the hospital, if they weren't able to give him his medications fast enough, he'd find himself to be extremely impatient and very verbal. Many times I've been written and asked as a proxy to do something about it, which was really out of my hands. So back to 6 years ago, my son's getting ready to move on to his own part of life, graduate high school. He meets a girl that he doesn't want me to meet, and most likely because he knew that, you know, she was most likely not going to be around for long. But for the fact that here it is, my son is being raised in a household where he feels that he just needs to hide or be private, it goes to show the type of relationship that John and I had, showing him any sense of family. It wasn't showing him inclusion. So I really wanted to meet the girl, and I really wanted to be a part of my son's life as he was developing into a young man, taking on a relationship. He was really upset with John and I because I often, as his woman, was very forefront and standing by his side and using his word as Vaughn. And I take it my son may have used that as an opportunity for him to escape because he saw me weakened by this man who I clearly couldn't lean on as my leader. And as a queen, I'm constantly putting that pressure on a man in my life to play king. And it's often a pauper, a joker, a jack. And that's what I got with John. So he played like he wanted to hold the responsibility, but as soon as it became any responsibility for himself to be either romantic or be cordial, he totally threw that out the window. He'd rather spend money than spend time. And then he'd rather tell you that, oh, I'm too sick to spend money and still not spend the time with you and still make you walk around with your coat on waiting to do something, and then he does nothing. So many years, we've waited around expecting John to get a little better to do something, and he did nothing. He did nothing except destroy this business, and he did it with every horrible review about the business because it's all about him. Every student that had resigned her position as a student or given up their classes or just turned their backs on the studio is mostly because of how he treats them. And because he has to answer a phone and he has to respond to an email, he does it in his own way where either if he's mad, he's going to take it out on whomever's on the phone. If he's dealing with something else, he's going to make everyone else deal with his problems. And I've expressed to him under many circumstances, it's not wise or professional to run a business through your emotions. And he often just negated everything that I said, claimed that his illness was more important than the business. And true, it was because it needed to be dealt with, but the business was mine. It wasn't his. And for him to leech onto my business because he had nothing else to hold on to, he has no control over himself, he has no control over his own career aspirations, he decided to use me. First, he decided to bring in one of my girlfriends. She decided to purchase some of percentage of my business just so we can get out of the original financial hole we were in through the business, mostly caused by John and his poor planning or awful budgeting. Never planned for a budget for advertisement, but then he expected me to go and dance, make $1,000 a night so I could pay off any bills or any additions or help him re-up for his weed and edibles. And this went on for years because I was working in Springfield right across the street from my studio, working at the Mardi Gras, busting my tail. I had morning and evening classes. So I would work from noon to 6, then work at the club, and then come back Or I'd work in the evening from 6 to 10, then work at the club till the morning. So there was never a day that I wasn't working a double. There was never a time that I wasn't working at least 16 to 20 hours a day, literally. And this has gone on for years. But we're talking about the last six. So within these last few years of having to change the location of the studio from Springfield back to Hartford, he did an amount of friends that would help him be able to establish his own criteria, his own job fulfillment. And he decided to turn his back on the studio ever since. The only goal would be bringing any additional partners or people on was so we could raise the necessary money for what we intended on spending it for. My goal, $10,000 to go to a hardwood floor. Floor that is necessary because we cannot dance on a cement. There's not even a strip club that has a cement floor. Maybe they do, but they probably don't hire many performers or the girls like protective gear, whatever. Nonetheless, being in this position, I've made it very clear that that was the most important thing to purchase, but he didn't. He bought two $6,000 air scrubbers, and the air scrubbers were professional for cleaning out the air of smoke and of debris. So when he has parties, he can clean the air faster. He thought that was more important. So here's $12,000 that we didn't spend on the studio. Went to his business so he could continue. Now I have a pole, a private pole that I use for events. He takes it to one of the events and he leaves it, then tells me, oh, well, that's gone. And I'm kind of like baffled by it. Why is my equipment gone? Oh, somebody took that. So somebody just took it. You just bring my equipment to a place that is having whatever events and maybe somebody took it, or did you sell it because you owe somebody something, or did you give it away because you feel that you owe something? These are the things that's been going on. Everything that I own, everything that I had, he either used as leverage to get something else for himself or to totally take advantage of the business. So this has been laundering this whole time. He uses whatever the money that I make in the studio, and he puts it back in his own pockets, or he puts it into, I don't know, he bought a workbench because he thinks he's now a construction worker. He thinks he has the skill set to be a professional general contractor. So he's given himself that title. And he's only given himself that title because he pulls an aerial equipment. It's really not that hard to do that. Mind you, he also spent a good, I don't know, maybe $20,000 on a lift to get to the ceiling because he has bad vertigo. He cannot get on a ladder without falling or feeling dizzy. So he had to buy a lift. And originally it was a rental because that made more sense to only, you know, use it when you need it. But because of the constant bills that accrued through the rental process, I am now an owner of a lift. So that money went to whatever. So he's constantly purchasing equipment and tools and things for his other businesses. Meanwhile, he's let this business suffer so poorly and so badly that he literally has nobody else to work with. Today is Friday the 3rd, and I'm sure that there's an instructor on her way down now who's going to be completely in the dark about what's going on, assuming that her role is exactly where it is. She's teaching her classes, she's doing her thing, and then she's going to go home. However, she comes down and she stays in my house, the house that John kicked me out, the house that John makes me not come to when I leave work because he lives there and he doesn't want me around because he thinks I have not produced last 4 months. It sounds like a pimp, right? Because I haven't produced in these last 4 months that he's using this as I have never paid a bill. I have totally taken advantage of him, and now he is so responsible of keeping everything afloat that he now has this control over where and when I can come to my own home. Meanwhile, he's sleeping on my bed. My bedroom is filled with my furniture. The big-ass walk-in closet is filled with my clothes. Everything in that house literally is mine. His biggest complaint is that he wants to be able to bring company, and he feels uncomfortable that if she, because obviously it's a girl, she would feel uncomfortable that his ex-girlfriend's living in the closet. And the closet is what I call my bedroom, because the bedroom is exactly that, four walls. There's no windows. There's no way to breathe. You can't even get air to circulate. It's awful. This loft situation that we've gotten ourselves into has not gone any further. And for me to move out, it would cause me at least 3 months of pay just to be able to get on my feet and then move out. Plus, I'm going to have to do another 3 months just so I can move forward. So I feel so far back. I was really contemplating the worst thoughts ever in my head. Who am I? Who am I? This business does not define me. He does not define me. Unfortunately, I defined him. So if you go on social media, anytime you'll see a social media account, it's most likely under my name in my picture with him running it from behind, because he doesn't know how to run a business. He uses me. He uses my imagery. He uses my body. He's used my position. He uses my intelligence. He's used everything. I have nothing else to give this man. And I have nothing else to give myself. I'm here fighting for a little air to breathe. And if you've ever been in a woman's shelter, you know that you have very little at all, if any at all, privacy or any type of, you know, to yourself. You don't get that opportunity to be comfortable again. So I've kind of went backwards. I'm in a situation where officially written out my resignation, and this is not the first, it's not the second, it's not even the third. This is the fourth resignation that I've written. And this one actually went to him because I had nothing else. He would not accept the idea of me putting a lawyer involved so we could, you know, dissolve the business and, like, you know, professionals should. Feels okay, let me save myself some money because I'm such an amazing Erin Brockovich bitch that I can do it myself, and that's what he does. So he thinks he is an assistant, and he'll go off and try to paralegal his way of finding whatever he can to omit the job of the lawyer and then have it notarized, thinking that he's taking a shortcut to spending the money, when I know legally that's not exactly how you do it. So going back to where he sold percentages of my business to my friend, that was done in front of my lawyer because we were under the impression that she was coming on board as a partner. And as a partner, she would be taking care of a lot of the things that John was slacking on when it came to office work. John has a horrible, everything, but he cannot handle at all not having. And it may have a lot to do with his illness because he has not been able to control when he can get sick or when he's well, some sense of control of something. He decided to never let this woman do her job. And she apparently, from my understanding, lost her percentages in my business. I was not aware of this. I was not even told this was possible. If she wasn't able to work the job, then the percentages go back. So it went back to me. Then a few years later, he does this again, but he does it with a partner that I don't really know and I don't really trust because they're together working other businesses, and I'm not sure exactly what his agenda is either, if he is truly trying to help me and John or if he is truly trying to, you know, invest in this business and help himself. I'd rather him be a person that's there for himself so then he could be more available and visible in this business. But he has now 25% of my business, and John comfortably gave that to him for whatever in exchange. None of that money went to me. None of it went to the business. I have no idea. Maybe it was just to pay back bills because job, you know, balancing the sheets. So he found ways to Paul to pay Peter, whatever. Back to now, I'm now a 75% owner, maybe less, not quite sure. I'll say 74% owner, because I know John does own 1% of the business. I never intended on giving him my business, but I had never intended on him having so much control that he would pretty much try to control my life. The last 3 years, I've been in a relationship. I've been happily in love, and I've been seeing this guy for quite a while. It's been quite rocky because of the situation, and I don't think it's really wise for any man to start dating me, being a homeless woman. Though at this moment, yes, my situation may be a lot better, but mentally it isn't. Physically it isn't, because now I'm all the way away from my studio, and I have to travel 3 hours just to get to work for 1 hour. Why would that make sense? I put my 2 weeks notice in. Now he's going to have to rearrange the calendar and the schedule so then he could omit me from teaching the classes. When I'm omitted from teaching the classes is the time where I can actually travel, go off, work, or maybe even get another job. But until then, I'm still held hostage by him and his agenda. So I reached out to his partner, my 25% owner, and I just told him, this is what's going on. This is what he's doing. He won't let me eat any of food. He won't let me use the car. He won't let me really operate this business. And he's using the excuse because I'm not shaking my ass and making the money that I used to make that went straight to him and his bills or to his pocket, that he's now using that as an opportunity to say, okay, well, she's not capable of contributing to this business. I'm kicking her out. He has no right to kick me out. I'm legally still on every lease. However, I don't want to deal with the harassment. If you've ever been harassed by John or barked on by John, you may feel like there might need to be some retaliation because he gets under your skin so much because he cannot just talk to you like a human being. He treats you like a dog. And since he doesn't understand because he's such a genuine jailbait fucker, that he doesn't really understand how to communicate with really anyone without yelling or without screaming or about trying to demean them because that's how he feels about himself. I blame his parents. He's got the worst parents. And yes, they're both dead. I really don't care. Thank God, because if they were alive, I would be telling them how horrible they are at parenting this son of a bitch because he is a horrible son of a bitch. He's a horrible father. He's a horrible business person. He's a horrible domestic partner. And what I really expected would have been some sort of guidance from his family or his sisters or anybody that actually loves him, but no. They allow him to behave this way because he's sick. Sick people do sick things, and I am no longer going to be his nurse. I gave up so long ago. I've moved on so long ago, and I genuinely fell in love with someone else. Now, I can't keep this afloat and still hold on to any of the things that he expects me to give him. So I gave it away. I no longer want this responsibility of being in business with this man, and I definitely don't want the responsibility of being his proxy or his friend because I have nothing nice to say about him, and I do not represent what comes out of his mouth. So as I end this show today, I'm just blathering on. I'm going to go ahead and start preparing for the next show to kind of give you more of an insight to how everything truly, truly has gone wrong. I thank you so kindly for listening and being my sense of therapy because this does help get a lot of things out in the air and helps me see things from a different perspective. You've been listening to me ramble. Feel free to give me a call. If you hear these shows and you want to call in, I would love to hear from you. The phone number is 563-999-3707. Again, 563-999-3707. Hear from you next time. Until then,